May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. These are not what you would call the ideal Sunday school beatitudes. Or at least they aren't the ones that I remember. When I was in church school, we only ever learned the Matthew version. 8 blesseds and no woes. We learned that if someone, including ourselves, were troubled or sad or yearning or persecuted, they would be blessed by God. We learned that if we were meek or merciful or peacemakers or pure in heart, whatever that meant, we would be rewarded in heaven. The Beatitudes were only challenging in an aspirational way. They called us to be kind, compassionate, and loving, and even sometimes courageous. And they offered God's reward in the hereafter. In short, Matthew's Beatitudes comforted the afflicted, whereas Luke's Beatitudes, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. That's afflicting the comfortable. This is a bleak prospect for comfortable Christians who are privileged and often generous and who, as we say, do what good people do. How are we to respond to Jesus' accusing gaze as we stand in the crowd? What are we to make of this? In all likelihood, Matthew and Luke worked from the same anonymous source, but here you see they're offering contrasting perspectives, even to the point of setting the scenes differently. Matthew sets Jesus up on a mountain, his Sermon on the Mount, while Luke locates him down on the plain. And there is plenty to preach and to say about both of these versions. And while I did make somewhat light of Matthew's version, there is plenty of meat there, just not for today. Today we're all about the blessings and the woes of Luke. Luke's intention in this passage is entirely consistent with his project to depict Jesus as the new Moses, deeply rooted in Jewish tradition and in God's promises to Israel, while at the same time broadening the story of salvation to include all of God's people. According to biblical scholar Julia Vandenbrink, Luke's use of blessings and woes is a deliberate outgrowth of Old Testament tradition of antithetical covenant blessings and curses, but with a gospel twist. And what it offers us is actually an invigorating challenge and invitation to us as individuals and as the body of Christ. So, just as Moses stood on the plains of Moab and spoke to the Israelites as they were preparing to enter the promised land, Jesus, in Luke's signature transition strategy, has come down from the mountain after a night of prayer. And he stands on the plain among a crowd of his followers and a multitude of people from near and far. Like Moses, Jesus stands at the threshold of promise. Here he is at the liminal boundary of the kingdom of God. And his words are a distant echo of covenant relationship from the time of the patriarchs, when God made this promise to Abram: go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Blessings and curses. But those who are outside of the covenant, They don't know it, but they have a choice to make. If they are good to this small, incipient nation of covenant people, they will receive blessings. And if not, they will be cursed. And so the thing that is distinctive about this relationship of blessings and curses, which will recur throughout the patriarchal period, is that the focus of this covenant is protection. Protection of the vulnerable people of God from those who are outside of the covenant. Whereas the covenant with Moses that comes later and the Israelites, this will be a covenant all about obedience. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, God, through Moses, presents the Israelites with a choice: faithful relationship with God or rejection of the one who created and liberated them. Over the course of 68 verses, Moses details parallel conditional blessings and curses, a series of rewards for obedience, followed by a series of punishments for disobedience. The blessings progressively detail Israel's rise to prosperity, well-being, and greatness under God's blessing, while the curses likewise detail Israel's descent to ruin and exile in the event of God's rejection. And the contrast is vivid. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. Or the Lord will send upon you disaster, panic, and frustration in everything you attempt to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. Woe. Obedience or disobedience, blessing or disaster. In chapter 30, Moses will make the choice crystal clear. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God. This pattern of parallel antithetical blessings and curses appears throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And we heard it this morning in the reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. These blessings and curses lay out the choice between prosperity and ruin, well-being and distress. It's a clear binary. If you have wealth and all-around good fortune, you have been blessed. If you are poor and suffering, you have been cursed. This is characteristic of present-day so-called prosperity gospel. But the wisdom literature, which includes the books of Job and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, rightly and persistently questions this binary, pointing out that the faithful righteous are often as not the poor, the marginalized, and the downtrodden, who are victims of those who are wealthy and connected and powerful, those whom the Deuteronomic writers declared to be blessed by God. The wisdom writers are calling it out. They're calling it out. So we have blessings and curses for protection of God's people under the covenant with Abram. We have blessings and curses calling for obedience under the covenant with Moses. And then we have the wisdom writers who observe this real life experience and interrogate the models of exactly what it means to be blessed or cursed. And Luke takes all of this and absorbs it and realigns it in the context of the dream of God, acknowledging wisdom reality while at the same time utilizing a covenant framework that does resonate with his audience. Jesus speaks blessings and curses as blessings and woes. inviting his hearers on the plain into a new covenant reality. A new covenant reality. Julia Vandenbrink puts it this way. She says, those who are named as blessed by the Beatitudes are those who suffer at the hands of others, while those addressed in the woes are insulated against that suffering. The woes, therefore, are a warning for the rich and the comfortable among God's people that there is little security in their position if they are blinded by their possessions, and if they place their security on what they possess rather than on God. She continues, the woes offer Luke's audience a choice between blessing and woe. The woes offer Luke's audience a choice between blessing and woe. The woes don't spell doom for us so much as they insistently extend an urgent invitation. Follow me. Jesus says, follow me. He says, here we stand on the threshold of the kingdom. I set before you today the work of the dream of God, both the opportunity and the risks, discipleship and what it will cost. Choose to follow me so that you may know life at its fullest and most abundant, if not as at its easiest. He says, blessed are the hungry, the poor, and the grieving who have nothing but God, because God's dream is being fulfilled now. Blessed are you who follow the one who calls you to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and console the mournful, even though the world will revile and persecute you for demanding justice. And blessed will be those who choose to remember that they are not self-made and that they too have nothing that does not first belong to God. Blessed will be those who choose to remember who and whose they are. Amen.